Greetings, hockey fans, and welcome to the Code Red Devils podcast. It's Cody, Code Red Decker, with you on this Friday ahead of Game 3 of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Devils and the Hurricanes, the Devils finding themselves in a 2-0 hole through the first two games. We're going to dive into all of it today. We'll recap those games and talk about some key headlines going into Game 3 tonight at The Rock. I want to remind you that you can follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, X, and Instagram, at Code Red Devils. And you can also send me an email. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what you want us to talk about. All that kind of stuff. CodeRedDevils@gmail.com. It's all Code Red Devils. Makes it very, very easy. We're going to start today by recapping the first two games. And obviously, overall, right now, if you're a Devils fan, you got to feel disappointed. That first game was an absolute stinker. The Devils didn't really play well at all. Lucky they even really got a goal in this one to begin with. Nico Hischier able to score for the Devils in this first game. Second game, heck of a lot better, a lot more competitive. But again, the Devils just not having the ability to score. So let's go into the details of these games here. And the first one, like I said, tough to watch. Just absolutely tough to watch. And we'll go through the scoring summary here. Jalen Chatfield with a goal from the point. 2:24 into the game to make it 1-0 Carolina. That would all be the scoring in that first period there. And then Carolina just piling it on. In the second period, it was the Logan Stankoven show. Two goals for him in the period, including one on the power play. Jordan Martinook continues to be a Devils killer in this series and in his career. He just has a number for the Devils. He picked up an assist on Stankoven's first goal of the game. Nico Hischier able to get one back. Approaching the final minute of the second period, Bratt and Pesci with the assist to make it 3-1 Carolina, but then Andrei Svechnikov is able to cap this one off with an empty netter. Late in the third period, Taylor Hall gets his second assist of the game, and that does it for the scoring. It was 4-1 Carolina, the final. 45-24 in shots on goal. I mean, you can't really make this up as far as how dominant Carolina was, especially in that first period. 17-5 in shots, followed by 21-8 in the second period. Devils would close the gap a little bit in the third, but that by that point, this game was all Carolina to begin with. And it's interesting when you look at the stats in this, because the Devils won 60% of faceoffs. But I think when you look back at this game, it was the transition opportunities. It was the good zone entries by Carolina. The power play certainly helped. I mean, the Devils took way, way, way too many penalties in this game as well. Carolina ending up 1-for-3 on the power play. But when you take a look at it, too many men on the ice penalty in the first period for the Devils. Trip by Meyer. A Dawson Mercer delay of game where he just was trying to clear the puck, but flicked it over the boards. Too many penalties for the Devils in this game, and it really seemed like in that first period, they kept playing from behind in all aspects. And when you start a series like that, you can't feel good. You can't, but you got to find a way. When you come out of that period as poorly as you played it, and you're only down 1-0, there's got to be a switch right there for this team to, turn the tide a bit. Make it come back and make the second period a lot better. And it just seemed like Carolina was ready for this from the get-go. And just a poor game. Poor game from the Devils overall. A tough way to start. And I don't really have too much sympathy because if you're going to start a series like this, imagine how you think the rest of it's going to go. Think of what the expectations are going to be going into a game two. Not very good. Looking at Some other things from this first game here. Let's take a look at the box score. I mean, Jacob Markstrom did all he could. 41 saves on 44 shots. I mean, you can't really ask for much more from him against the Carolina offense that was just absolutely buzzing. You know, if you take a look at the Carolina side of things, I mean, Freddie Anderson has been terrific so far in this series, both games, saving 23 of 24. He made some good saves in this one. The second game was even better. And remember what I said going into the playoffs. If you get great goaltending, momentous goaltending, impactful goaltending where you're literally looks like you're stopping everything, that's going to make a big difference. And I thought, looking at the way the regular season went, Carolina won a lot of games. They won 47 games, okay? But Freddie Anderson, you look at his stats, and they weren't that great. So, you know, a save percentage under 900, you know, a goals against of, I believe it was 2.5 or even higher. You know, you need to take advantage of that. But Carolina seems to have thrown all the stats out the window at this point going into this game one and really just came out firing. And they looked like the better team. And I think they are the better team at this point. So a rough go for the Devils in this first game. Jalen Chatfield ends up +3 for the Hurricanes. Nice goal from him. Taylor Hall with the two assists is a nice look for the former Devil and the former MVP on the Devils. But just a bad start for the Devils. I mean, you feel deflated if you're a fan watching that game. And you're wondering, well, they got to come back out in two nights into the same building against that absolutely annoying "Let's go, Canes! Let's go, Canes! Let's go, Canes!" I hate it. It's the worst chant, and it's the most annoying chant. It bothers me. Okay, I'm gonna admit it. That chant bothers me. You know, but just a bad start for the Devils overall, and I really can't harp on it enough because it's frustrating. It's frustrating. The Devils just didn't seem ready. Didn't seem ready at all. And to boot, they ended up having three injuries in this game. Luke Hughes, Brendan Dillon, and Cody Glass. Glass luckily ends up coming back in this, but we have not seen Luke Hughes, and we have not seen Brendan Dillon since their injuries in the first game. So let's move this to game two, where it's a good pivot point because Luke Hughes did not play. Brendan Dillon did not play. So in comes Dennis Cholowski and Simone Nemitz into the lineup. So now already a new third pair enters the fray for this New Jersey Devils team. And you would think with the absence of Luke Hughes and the fact that Dougie's coming back trying to get his, you know, mojo going, Luke Hughes looked like a major absence for the Devils. Going into the game, you were thinking, well, how is this team going to win without Luke? I still feel that way, but it wasn't necessarily as dire, I would say, as this game unfolded. But as we take a look at this game, Carolina looking to add on to their series lead. Jesper Bratt at the 3:51 mark with a nice goal off a rebound. The Devils were pestering Freddie Anderson at the beginning of this game. And you loved it. You loved it if you're a Devils fan, just due to the lack of energy that was seen in game one, not playing up to the physicality of Carolina. So a nice goal from Bratt there. Eric Holla continues a nice stretch of hockey for him. And Dougie Hamilton also gets an assist on that goal to make it 1-0 Devils. And then, unfortunately, here come those Carolina Hurricanes storming ahead in the second period with goals from Shane Gostisbehere and an absolutely gut-punching shorthanded goal from Jordan Martinook. Like I said before, Martinook just seems to have the Devils' number. He was outstanding. 2 years ago in the series against the Devils, and, you know, once again making his presence known. So far, he's got a goal on the shorty and two assists. And what a play in the third period by Seth Jarvis. Martinook is the one who comes up with the puck, literally falls to the ice, is sliding, and from his bottom on the ice, he is able to send this pass up perfectly to Seth Jarvis. It was an absolute tremendous play, and it would be the capper with the empty net as Carolina wins 3-1 in a game where the Devils looked much better. Still controlled the faceoff circle by a little bit. The shots were more even, and you know, just another tough loss. I mean, I thought the Devils had so many terrific chances in this game. And if you look at the final, I think it was minute, one shot that just stands out in my mind was Timo Meier getting this juicy rebound. It was a bit of a spinning puck, but he's unable to get the shot off. And that kind of, you know, told the story right there as to how this thing was going to end. I think that would have tied the game before this empty netter ended up happening. But, I mean, the Devils fire more shots. And they're going to have to do that. That's the only way they're going to win this series. They need to fire the puck at the net. Especially if they end up not having Luke Hughes or Brendan Dillon. Luke Moore is the concern because of his offensive ability. You know, Dougie is going to be important here. You know, now that he's got a few games under his belt, you hope he can step it up a little bit. The assist was nice in this game too here. But just kind of looking at this game, shots were 28-26 Carolina. Again, the Devils with a little bit of the edge in the faceoff circle. Both had three power plays. Neither of them scored. 51 hits for the Devils, so compared to 31 for Carolina, that's a ton of hits. A more physical game by the Devils. Looked like they were in this thing pretty much the whole time until it started to fall off maybe a little bit in the second and, you know, the third period, unable to get a goal. It's tough. As far as the rest of this is concerned, 15 giveaways by each team, so that was pretty even. Devils playing definitely a much better defensive game, but again, the goals just didn't come. And I don't know what it is, but I kept thinking about this for a few days. The Devils just never seem to get the bounce. I don't know if the rest of the Devils fan base feels the same way I do. The Devils never really seem to get the bounce in the playoffs. It's odd. It really is. A lot of credit goes to Brett Pesce in this game. I think he saved about two or three goals. Just a really, really great effort. I mean, you look at some of the highlights. The dive that he made with the puck on the goal line was terrific. I think he did a similar thing later on in the game. Just a really, really solid effort from Brett Pesce. And you're going to need guys to step up like that. Hopefully it's not in a situation where the puck is almost barely into your net. But you're going to need guys to step up. And with Pesce coming up this, as well as he did in that game in the big moments, keeping this closer than it might appear as you're looking at some of those plays. With Luke out, Brett Pesce means a lot more to this decor. As far as the stats are concerned, Jacob Markstrom, again, played well enough to win a game. 25 saves on 27 shots. And Freddie Anderson ends up ending on a 25 save in 26 shots in his stat line. So, really good effort for Freddie Anderson. Again, I think he's making a big difference. You know, if Anderson doesn't play well in that second game, you know, this could be a 1-1 series right now. That's how close this game was. and shots more even throughout the game. But again, the Devils fall. They're down 2-0. They need some bounces, but you can't go into a game saying, oh, we'll get some bounces. We'll be in this thing. No, they need to be ready to go. They need to jive off of this home fan base, and they need to get it together. Bring up the energy. You know, it sounds like you need a little more going into this game three, even more than you had in game two. Because this Carolina team is going to be ready, and they want to end this thing quick. They know they've probably got Washington coming up if they, you know, finish this series and cap it off, which I think they will. They want to get this series done. They want to get this done in Jersey on Sunday. That's their goal. So they're going to come out ready to play. They're the more talented team. You've got your work cut out for you if you're the Devils, who are, again, down 2-0 after these first two games. Let's dive into some headlines going into Game 3 here. One of the things to watch going into tonight is Jonas Siegenthaler has returned to practice for the Devils. He was at practice yesterday is when he made his initial return. He was also on the ice this morning for morning skate. That is important due to the fact that Brett Pesce, Luke Hughes, and Brendan Dillon all did not participate in morning skate this morning. Now, Brett Pesce, it is a maintenance for him, so no worry in regards to Brett Pesce's availability tonight. He will be in the lineup, had a maintenance day yesterday, and had a maintenance go around this morning, so he's going to go into the game as is. However, Luke Hughes, Brendan Dillon, not in the morning skate, would likely indicate that they most likely are not playing tonight. So you are once again without one of your better offensive players in Luke Hughes overall, and you might be without Brendan Dillon, who is one of your scrappier guys. So tough break there if you're talking about a D pairing once again of Chalowski and Nemitz, or if Jonas Siegenthaler finds his way in, that could maybe help this Devils team a bit. So let's go over the lines as they are in morning skate this morning, courtesy of Amanda Stein on X. The forward line's not changing from last game, it looks like. Heeshear, Palat, and Meyer, Holla, Mercer, and Bratt, Cotter, Glass, and Nason, Tatar, Dowling, Bastion. Not looking like too many changes there. Lazar and Sprong are skating as the extras, so it looks like they're the odd men out. And we already talked about the defensemen. Markstrom looks to be the guy in net for the Devils tonight. Not looking like there's going to be a change there in the goaltending. So, as I look through this, we could see Siegenthaler. And Sheldon Keefe mentioned yesterday after practice that there is a need to keep an eye on the depth of this D-core group. If Luke and Brendan can't go, you know, they would not have rushed Jonas Siegenthaler back to even practicing. They said that this was more of a May timeline, but they may very well have said to Siegenthaler, look, if you can go, let's at least get you some reps out on the ice. You don't have to play, but let's at least try and get you to start getting ready in case we need you here. Not sure if he plays tonight. I think it's probably about 50-50. We'll probably hear from Sheldon Keefe at some point before tonight's game. So we will have to see what happens. Again, Amanda Stein reporting that Jonas Siegenthaler is taking the third pair reps with Simone Nemitz, as he did yesterday. And Chalowski is filling in for Pesce, since Pesci's on the maintenance day for the maintenance for this practice that happened this morning, this morning skate. So those are the headlines for the roster. And just as a kind of a housekeeping note, a bunch of players got called up from Utica. Now that Utica's season is over, so the Devils have depth available. A couple key guys I'm looking at, Brian Hallinan, Nolan Foote. All those guys have been called up, and guys that they could use if they need them down the line. But I would not expect any of the Utica guys to get in unless absolutely necessary. Point it being that the Devils do have them as long as they are available. Looking ahead to this game, Game 3, again, the Devils have the advantage of being in their own building. They need to create that home ice advantage that Carolina showed them in the first two games. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. And I understand, for the Devils fans out there, myself included, not having Jack Hughes on the ice, it stinks. It stinks. But to think that this team started the series the way they did, do you think that team would have won the game with Jack Hughes? Ask yourself that. And hit us up on our socials. I'm curious what you think. And would like to start a little bit of a conversation. If Jack Hughes is in the lineup, does he make a difference regardless of how this team comes out? Energy-wise, physicality-wise, offensively. Curious if that makes a difference to you. Because realistically, I don't think one guy and the team playing this way would make a difference against this Carolina team. I think this Carolina team is talented enough to give the Devils a run for their money if the Devils were at full strength. That's my thought. Would be curious to hear what you have to think about that. But obviously, the Devils are hanging on by a thread. Okay, they're hanging on by a thread. Game 2 was an improvement. It's tough now looking at this, though. You had 2 days off, and you have a game tonight. It's a lot of layover. Can you take some of that momentum from playing with Carolina rather than not showing up against Carolina? Can you bring the energy needed and the offense needed to win this game tonight? You can't play the defensive game. And this is what this team is built on. It's no secret, right? With all the veterans on the back end, this team focused on defense in the offseason. They got better defensively. Special teams, their kill is great. Their power play was also great. We have a team that both sides of the puck is a pretty good team in the New Jersey Devils, but they're not Carolina. They're clearly not Carolina. It's a matchup that doesn't work. It's a matchup that looks lopsided. The Devils need to put the puck in the back of the net. Clean and simple. And if Freddie Anderson keeps playing the way he's playing, a sweep is a real possibility. So that's something the Devils need to watch out for. They need to find ways to create better zone entries. They need to find ways to find the open seams and create some good offense. Create consistent offense. Make Carolina have to work for a win. They did in game 2. Game 1 definitely didn't. Make them work tonight for a win. Make it hard on them. Score goals. Create good opportunities. Be disciplined. All things the Devils need to do if they want to have a chance at winning game 3 tonight and trying to get this series back on more even footing. Let's take a look at the Stanley Cup playoffs and where things stand right now. Toronto with a 3-0 lead on Ottawa. A little surprised there that the Senators aren't playing a little better, maybe stolen the game at this point. But Toronto looks like the real deal. And in the other series, 2-0 Florida over Tampa Bay. And I don't want to pat myself on the back yet and jinx myself, but I thought Florida was going to win the game and win the series. They're off to a really good start. Now having Brad Marchand and Matthew Tkachuk back, that's a pretty dynamic group over there in Florida. In the other Eastern series, it's Washington 2 and Montreal nothing. No surprise there. Again, I think Carolina is the more talented team over the Devils. They're up 2-0, as I expected. And on the West, it's a bit more exciting, more contested, if you would say. 2-1 Winnipeg. The Blues with a 7-2 win last night at home in St. Louis. So credit to them for punching back with a vengeance. Dallas 2-1 over Carolina. Colorado right now. And then the Knights of Vegas down 2-1 to the wild card, the Minnesota Wild. And then the Kings taking care of business so far against Edmonton, 2-0 in that series. As far as where things are going here, looks like Toronto's going to take care of Ottawa. I see Florida beating Tampa, like I said. Washington, Carolina, that meeting to me just kind of looks all but set. And then in the West, we'll see. I mean, you know, Winnipeg, it's not clear cut that they're going to move on. Dallas, Colorado has been an exciting series so far. And Minnesota looking to surprise Vegas. I thought Edmonton would at least get one of two in the first two against the Kings, but they're not looking too good either right now. So an interesting kind of set here. Especially in the West. The West looks like the better series to watch as of right now, and a little more exciting than the East, but we'll see how things play out here as the first round goes on. All right, we're going to jump to the power play now, and it's kind of a makeup power play that we're going to do here. One of the things that I neglected to mention in the last episode was the death of Ray Shiro, the former Devils general manager. So the power play is going to go to him today, and we're going to take this time to talk about him. The power play starting right now. Ray Shiro, general manager of the Devils for some time, was also in Pittsburgh. You know, Ray Shiro in Pittsburgh from 2006 to 2014. Franchise, obviously, that brought in Sidney Crosby some years before, and Ray Shiro ended up being the man that really brought this team to excellence. Able to build around the centerpiece in Sidney Crosby, and just a tremendous go-around for the Penguins. Winning the Stanley Cup against the Detroit Red Wings in 2009, and Ray won the General Manager of the Year award in the 2012-2013 season. He comes onto the Devils in May of 2015, and of course, the one move that we can all credit Ray Shiro for was granting us the greatness of Taylor Hall, the first MVP in the franchise's history. Didn't have much success with the Devils in his time here. And Ray ended up getting fired by the Devils in January of 2020. That's when Tom Fitzgerald was named his replacement after that. And then Ray actually had a role in hockey as an advisor to the Minnesota Wild. And that was a position he had until he sadly was taken from us back on April 9th at the age of 62 with some form of cancer. So the stick taps to Ray Shiro and his contributions to the Devils and the Penguins. And if you watched that game a few weeks ago in the regular season, the Pens ended up winning 4-2. The game was a little bit of a backdrop because we were all remembering Ray Shiro on that night. And all the impacts that he had made on both teams and both organizations. And he will be truly missed. That is going to do it for this edition of the Code Red Devils podcast. Appreciate you listening. Game 3 tonight. Devils, Hurricanes at The Rock. 8 o'clock puck drop. You can watch it on TBS. So that's where the game will be tonight. And again, Sunday is going to be game 4. It's 3:30 in the afternoon, also at the Prudential Center. So we will have to see where things land. But the Devils really, really need this one tonight if there's going to be some sort of consideration for a swing in this series. Again, you can follow us. We want to hear from you. Facebook, X, and Instagram at Code Red Devils. You can also reach out to us by emailing coderedevils@gmail.com. Enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully the Devils can get one back. Until next time, this is Cody Decker skating off.